Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, with the Lord's help, we'll conclude a message I've been sharing, Heeding Our Ways, based on David's prayer to the Lord in Psalm 39. This is a wonderful psalm because he begins by saying, I will take heed to my ways. And I thought it would be so appropriate as we draw to the conclusion of this year and a new year waiting just in a few days to be upon us, that it would be well if we did as David did, to take inventory, to pay attention, to take notice of, that's what heed means, of our ways. The first thing he does by way of a really quick review is that he said, I will take heed to my ways that I will not sin with my tongue. And that was his desire, that he wouldn't be displeasing to the Lord in any way, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. He didn't want to be a reproach to, or bring a reproach to the Lord before the wicked by anything he might say, because he was in a place, he's not specific, but he was in a place of suffering and pain, and he was asking God to undertake and intervene in his life. And so he takes inventory. He keeps quiet, he is silent, and he begins to review the attitudes, the condition of his heart. And in fact, remember, I'm just thinking of that scripture. James said, if we would be able to control our tongue, the same is a perfect man. And so he was reflecting before the Lord. He was considering his ways. He was looking at his life and the things that were going on in his life, even though he wasn't being specific to share them, we see that there was an internal inventory going on. He was looking at his heart. He was looking at his life, and that he realized that all the efforts of man are vain, that no matter how long we live, even if we live to a good old ripe age, our time compared to eternity is very brief. The human life is very short, and so often the natural man is just concerned about things that don't amount to anything. They have no eternal significance. And he says in verse 7, he said, and now, Lord, why, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. And he comes before the Lord and he says, God, you see my weaknesses. You see my shortcomings. You see my sins, my transgressions. And he prays, as we should, to deliver us from our transgressions. He does not want to be the reproach of the foolish. And he prays not as a sinner praying for salvation, but as a saint seeking sanctification. He specifically is praying to the Lord to be upright before him. And hear what Paul says in the 6th chapter of Romans, verses 11 through 12. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Praise God. And so, beloved, we have to understand that our inner state will affect outward manifestation in our actions as well as our words. And finally, as we draw toward the end of this psalm, we had been looking at David's prayer, verses 8 through 11, speaking about his transgressions. He then directs his attention on his ways, his actions, and basically that encompasses all of the above that I've been sharing, basically. As Christians, even when the motive or attitude or intents of our heart are perfect before God, we still may err in our ways. We're in the state we're in oftentimes because we've allowed something to transpire in our personal metron, our areas of responsibility. For example, someone might be totally zealous and sincere for the Lord, but that's why we have to take the whole counsel of God. Perhaps a person who actually abuses his physical body for the sake of the gospel. In other words, not taking sufficient time to rest. And I'm not speaking now, of course, in a time of emergency. There are times of crisis where we do not have a choice, but in the normal pattern of our daily lifestyle, we should recognize that God is a God of balance and that He wants temperance in all things. That's why He gave the Sabbath principle, that we could rest one day of the week. He did that before the law was given. As in the work of creation, He rested the seventh day, not that He needed to, but as an example of, to us, a time of just entering into the Sabbath rest that we do have in Christ Jesus, but also physically, mentally, emotionally, circumstantially, to rest from the demands of our life and to put our thoughts and hearts upon the Lord. And beloved, the older I grow, the more important I see the essential importance of balance in our lives, as well as simplicity. Beloved, you can listen to some preachers and you get so wound up and frustrated thinking, oh my goodness, can I remember all that? Can I do all that? The gospel is simple, beloved. As I said, the older I get, the simpler it has to be. And the message of the gospel is simple. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I'm not being simplistic, but beloved, there is an era of a place we can get into of spiritual and intellectual arrogance. The more we can throw around Greek words and Hebrew words and impress others with our degree of learning and knowledge and understanding, beloved, there's a danger in that. We need to keep things simple. So God is calling us, you and I, to a life of temperance and balance and divine order, as well as obedience to His will for our personal lives. Psalm 101 and 2 says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Let me just read now verses 12 through 13, the conclusion of the psalm. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O, spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. He was calling out to the Lord, and he was taking heed to where he was before the Lord. And we need to take heed to our prayers, beloved, that we do not cease in the intensity of our fervency of our prayers. Sometimes when we're going through hard times, through affliction and sorrow and suffering, we feel the enemy is right there. And sometimes we don't recognize it's him saying, you know, what good does it do to pray? God didn't answer your prayer. Beloved, I would be amiss if I did not alert you to the danger of spiritual warfare. In fact, just recently I was telling a friend, I said, I've served the Lord all these years. I can't believe sometimes how dense I can be. You know, bottom line, you can go through oppression and depression. It'll creep up on you very, very slowly. And I realized yesterday, I was like, all of a sudden it was like the Holy Spirit was so good. It's like, have you tried resisting this oppression? I didn't even realize it was oppression. But you know, beloved, it's a downward spiral, and the enemy can come to me as like, you shouldn't even be in ministry anymore. Well, beloved, that wasn't God. And so I just stood on the word and it lifted. But it's like, how dense can you be? And then the Lord helped me to feel better. Look at Elijah, the great servant of God. He called down fire out of heaven. None of us have done that yet. And he got awful despondent and discouraged and ran in fear from Jezebel and was hiding in a cave. So don't feel bad about your failures, and just realize, beloved, we are in spiritual warfare. So our prayers need to be fervent. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Our prayers are the sincere expression of our inmost heart. They shouldn't be cold, formal litanies of pious pronouncement. The earnest and fervent prayer is evidenced by deep emotion and by tears. In verse 9, he was saying, "Thou, Lord, hast done this." He recognized that everything that happens to us, even though it could be ostensibly of the enemy, God allows it for his purposes. And so what is his desire toward God as we summarize this psalm? He's asking for a pardoning of transgression, a preventing of shame, a removal of affliction, that he might speedily be relieved of his present burdens, whatever they are, he doesn't specify. And he asks that God lengthen his life until he was ready for death. "Let my soul live, and it shall praise you." And beloved, the exact center of the psalm, literally as well as spiritually, is found in verse 7. "And now what wait I for? My hope is in thee." And beloved, that's our prayer. That's our hope. Our hope is in the Lord who hath made heaven and earth. And as I bring this broadcast to a close, as we bring this last broadcast of this year to an end, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And Father, I thank you that you will be with each one of your children that have listened this week. Lord, that we will take an inventory of our lives and we will express, Lord, in prayer, fervent prayer, Lord, our hope is truly in you. Thank you, Lord. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Give us grace and strength for the new days, the new things you have before us. Father, we look with anticipation on the work of your hands that you have for each of our personal lives. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for all your bountiful benefits, all that you have accomplished this past year in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. But Lord, we're not looking back, we're looking forward, because you have great things prepared for your people in these last days. We love you, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, Father, we commit our ways to you and give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a blessing to minister to you, not only this week, but this year. We've been on this station 40 years plus. And I just thank you now for your faithfulness in prayer. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,